Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcast of Past Generation Lost in the Mix, Affected by Sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, Evangelist Missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders from the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the founder and pastor is Pastor Robert R. Sanders II. Top of the morning to you. Thank God for being here. Yes, you're listening to the smooth sound again of W.R. Sanders' latest release. I tell you, you all got to go to iTunes.com, Amazon, CDBaby.com, CD Universe, Rhapsody. Oh, my God, it's all over the place. So you need to get that copy in your hand, the latest release entitled Believe In by none other than yours truly, the lead guitar player across the Midwest and across this world, W.R. Sanders, straight out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. You need to get your copy, and your copy is available today. Oh, I hope your Sunday morning was beautiful. Yesterday we had a glorious time at the Redeemed Fellowship, and we basically got a spoken word from little Minister Daniel, aspiring Minister Daniel Jones Jr., Dash Sanders. He brought on the Word of God on yesterday and talked about fear. He walked that flow with the Bible scriptures. He certainly did. He walked the floor. So today, this morning, I was led to just get up and talk about our topic on today, which is when crying out against sin has become a problem. And I'm confused. I'm really confused because the Bible is what we live by. I'm not going to say suppose. It's what we live by. And that is a part of us that we are to follow as those who are believers. And I don't understand how I've seen in the church, and my husband and I was talking last night. It was talking about things that we have failed as leaders have fallen. For some reason, it's so popular to say this phrase, don't say nothing. I mean, that's just don't say nothing. And I don't understand, why is it that you just don't say nothing? We know that there are scriptures for certain things. But when it's time to cry out against sin, it appears that it's against the law according to man's theory. And man's theory always seems to screw up one way or another. In the Bible, there are Bible verses that talks about sin and the seven deadly sins. And it's listed in the Bible as pride, envy, gluttony, lust, anger, greed, and sloth. And when we see sin, we don't cry aloud. We let it go on. Many of you have been looking, listening to, and reviewing videos from Dr. Earl Carter, who took a really nasty blow. These things get crazy among leaders, but I'm going to use that one as an example because we observed things that went on and took place, but I'm just going to hit on some key points so you can understand where I'm coming from. If anybody gets caught up into sin, or you got caught up, period, you can come back and make it right and don't go back to it again. The problem is that most leaders feel that you can't say anything because it ain't your place. But the Bible says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. I know it's a song, but it's a scripture also that covers it. What I don't understand is that when sin comes into the picture, everybody goes numb. So you wonder if the people really know the Bible like they say they do. And the thing about it is that some people, I don't really think, really know the Bible. And when we talk about, crying aloud against sin, we're supposed to. We are mandated by the Bible to cry aloud against sin. We, for some reason, have come away from this because we don't want to hurt feelings. And then I am so sick and tired of I'm tired of people saying, leave the word judge alone, okay? Because it is what it is. In the book of Isaiah, if you have your Bibles, go to Isaiah 58. The 58:1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. I see leaders that go the opposite. It's like they play with sin, and when they play with sin, they're babying it and pacifying it and breastfeeding it, and you're holding on to it as if there is something you're going to miss. You have so many things going on within the body of Christ that I'm wondering, trying to figure out who is really right. When I was talking to my husband last night, we were talking about some things that take place in the church that nobody wants to talk about. Family don't want to talk about what's right, what's wrong. And God has a way of allowing things not to happen, because he's going to show you who he is. Case in point, when I was married to my children's father, I married him in a backslidden state. And because I was mad at the church, I kept having family discouraging me. I didn't have anybody to be there for me when my aunt had passed away. And I had enough problems at home dealing with parents that were functioning, meaning they worked a job, good jobs, not a little nickel and dime job. They worked good jobs, but they were functioning as an addict as well outside their job. So they worked and they were using substance. Now, the thing that got me was that nobody understood why I left the church. A lot of people thought they knew, but they actually didn't. And I left because of the things that I saw going on at my home church, which was St. John Church of God of Christ here in Chicago. It was about two of me in Chicago, so do your pick and choose. But the things that I saw and the things that people were doing was not godly. It was ungodly. It was competition in the choir. It was competition here and there. And I don't understand why, because it's not even necessary. And then they had who's the best vocalist and who's going to get a Grammy Award, you know, all that kind of foolishness. So things that I saw, including my own family after my aunt had passed, I saw ugliness. I saw nastiness. I saw things that was not godly. Then because people had this shadow of me, being the only child in my family, I just never seen so many hate people in my life. You the only child, they act like you asking for things. I ain't never asked my parents for a doggone thing. Whatever they gave it to me because they wanted me to have it, not by my choice. So I got scrutinized by people in the church because I was the only child. I couldn't understand it. To this very day, I still have that, but it has lied dormant because they don't talk where I can hear it, but they talk where other folks could hear it, and it always, you know, it's a circle of a swirl comes right back to me. And I laugh, like, really? You all are still on hating me, and I ain't done nothing to you? But when you see things in the church, I got frustrated. I became very disconnected from the ministry because of what I saw, and people are yet telling me I don't see what I see. Don't tell what I don't see. That's a bad thing to tell somebody that, oh, I'm just seeing things. I mean, seriously. So you turn around, and when I left, I was mad. I'm like, I can't stay here. I didn't know how to filtrate the anger. When you go to church with a weapon in your purse, there's something wrong. And I started going with the weapon in my purse because I was hoping and praying. I promise you, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you. I'm going to be honest with you. I was ready for rumbling. I promise you I was. So I left. I didn't come back. When I came back, I was married. I said, now, can't nobody tell me what to do. Can't nobody run nobody away from me. Because I had a cousin that was always, if a guy liked me, she had to get him. And it wasn't even that serious. Oh, my God. And so that's what happened. So when I came back, I gave my heart back to the Lord, and I still saw sin. I started seeing sin once again, but I thought it would have lied dormant for a while. But it was worse when I came back. I said, well, God, I made my vow to you. I mentioned I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to go ahead and walk this thing. I'm not going to leave you. So the thing of it is that when you cry out against sin, in which God, of course, my gift is vocal. A lot of you know I'm a vocalist. A lot of you know me singing for years, so it's nothing new. But the other part is evangelism, a part that stuck to me as well. Music is always my first foremost gift that I'm always with because that's what's a part of me. Music is me. It's me. Evangelism is another part of me. So when God implemented that, or I should say stirred up as well, then I started seeing things. I'm seeing how leaders are marrying people that are adulterers. I'm seeing how leaders that are adulterers themselves go around and they carry the weight with the titles and they want you to obey them and bow down and say, I be Bobby and the 40 Thieves. They want you to do this. And you see the sin, and then the people in the church see it, but they don't want you to say nothing. Well, how do you expect your ministry to flourish if you don't say nothing? That's what is wrong with a lot of churches today, because they don't say anything. When sin is in your face, why aren't you dealing with it? Why? As you can see on my program, it says the people in the body of Christ crying out aloud against sin has become wrong. It's like salvation is not being instilled into people, but to live your life any kind of way because it's all right. It's all right to go against the Bible because you're human. That's what I discern nowadays from people. It's okay to go against the Bible. It's okay to be in your feelings. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. It's okay to commit adultery. It's okay to fornicate. It's okay. Don't say nothing. It's all right. And it seems like you get promoted in your denominations based on how many sins you do. But let a woman do it. You will never, ever, should never have an opportunity to work again in the church because she did it. But the leader can do it. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So now when it comes to sin, don't say nothing. But how is it that we're pleasing God when it comes to sin? Because that's not what God wants. And the thing about it is that when sin speaks in his nostril, that means that he don't like it. He don't like it. And that's the thing that gets me. It's sad how some churches or denominations or the believers feel that sin is all right. I don't get it. What teachings are you being taught that sin is all right? I'm looking in Romans, the first chapter, the 18 through 32, just to break it down. For God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. Not only is the love, mercy, and the grace of God revealed from heaven, but the attribute of the wrath of God is revealed in the same place. Why do we do the opposite and we turn around and we don't do what we're supposed to do? A lot of people that I know that battle with addictions have a problem. And we don't reach out to the ones who have an addiction. We won't answer the phone at all, period. So now we're dealing with certain things when it comes to preaching against sin. And we justify it based on our feelings. Here we have, men have their inner knowledge from God of the reality of sin. It teaches us that men have a consciousness that God must hate and judge and punish sin. That men persist in the ways of sin in spite of the warning of their own natural conscience. Men come to the point where they condone, they approve, then aid and rejoice in the sins of others. That is where I'm getting. What happened to us people, the people of God, the believers? Why have we not cried aloud against sin? It's like we support sin with honor and wear it with the badge of honor. Why is it that I'm not gonna say me, because I promise you, I don't participate in nobody's sin. I don't care what you are, who you are. When God hates it, you are to hate it. But because people want to feel in tune and fit in, and we want to make people happy, they participate in sin. Don't say nothing. You ain't supposed to say nothing. Why you not supposed to say nothing? Because you're not. Where does scripture say it don't? Where does the scripture say that you don't? That's the problem that we're dealing with right now in the church, because people allow sin to run rampant and they don't stop it. It's like a person that found out they had cancer. What do? They go to the doctor, get blood work done. They take all these tests and whatnot. Why? To localize where the cancer is stirring from and where they can target. Then they go and you go through surgery so you can get it out. That is the purpose of becoming free from cancer. But now when it comes to sin, we just go ahead and have a party about it. We go and have a big old convocation about, oh, I'm going to go ahead and allow my brother sin to be okay. But that's not right. And then the young people get into things, and then you want to rebuke them left and right. But then you can't rebuke them left and right when you're sitting up participating in it. And that's what is being demonstrated right now. Men can get away with a lot of stuff with their sin, and nobody calls them to the carpet on it. It's time in this day and age, the way that we are living right now, to start dealing with the issue and help people understand how to be free from sin. No matter what denomination of faith you belong to, it's time to be free from sin. A lot of them have never been saved or have not become saved and have never gotten saved. They just graduated in and automatically assumed they were saved without no form of repentance, without seeking, none of that. But when God starts taking people out of here, then you get shocked. In the book of Psalms 47 and 8, and his wrath and indignation is against the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their wicked lies are stifling the truth. They repress and hinder the truth. That's the point I'm making. Thus making it inoperative in their hearts and lives, for their wills will not break and will not bow to the authority of God. That means that they are so into sin that whatever God is asking for them to do or telling them to do, they're not doing it. Guess what? That's a sin as well. It's rebelliousness. And so now people feel, well, don't talk about my sin. But this is what the Bible speaks against. Leaders that allow people to remain in their sin and they represent and they say that they're representing God means that you have a problem too. And the bad part is that you are allowing the people that serve under you to be in a sinful state to justify what you want. God comes among us with the truth. Holding forth his blessed word. We don't want to obey it. Why? Because we want to be in our thing. And we don't obey it, then we exchange the truth for a lie. And we abandon ourselves, we're in trouble. For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile affections and degrading passions. For their women exchange their natural function for the unnatural and abnormal one, and the men also turned from natural relations with women and were set ablaze, burned out, consumed with a lust for another, men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies and personalities and inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray was their fitting retribution. God also will allow you to be turned over to a perverted mind. And also, God will allow you to live in your afflictions. And sometimes when you're living in your afflictions because you don't want to be in his word and you don't want to be right, what does he do? He lets you be exactly what you want to be. Because he's not going to fight you. But as my husband mentioned yesterday, after David got to bringing forth the word, he said, God will have you in a position where you are begging for, literally begging for your life. And that's a bad place to be when you are in that area. I'm learning by watching that nobody is crying aloud the way that they should because they feel that you don't have to. Well, yes, you do. Let's look at it for what it is. If you're sinning and you're in the abyss of sin, then you are dishonoring God. You are disrespecting God. You got people all over that are trying to justify sin based on their feelings, based on their emotions, based on excuses, based on their topic, based on their title, based on all of it. And when God gets angry at sin and that you continue to do it, why do you have an attitude with him? When you become so wrapped up into sin, you don't know what righteousness is. And I'm not being funny, and I'm not throwing off, but I'm just being honest with you. A lot of you pastors, you justify your sin by telling the people that are set up under you to keep their mouth shut because you are the leader, you're in charge, and what you do is what you do, and God is going to take what you do because you are who you are. Well, I got news for you. There's a double indemnity penalty for leaders because when you are representing the mouthpiece and you're the mouthpiece of God, then you do what you want to do. Now guess what you done? You done pissed God off. He don't like you no more because of your actions. Money, greed, women, all those things that hurt him, you're doing the opposite. So for those who are believers, if you have to leave a church just to get a peace of mind, to do what the Bible says do, then you have every right to leave to go where you're going to get fed to grow. Not go down and talk about where they just church hopping. Well, let them hop to their side where you need to go. Because some of them are not right. Some leaders are not right. But those who are believers and you are strong and mature in the word of God, you cry aloud against sin, no matter what it is, and don't associate yourself with those who love it and wear it as a badge of honor. Because that way you are in clear with God, you go when you get the word of God, and move forward up to where God wants you, not digressing. And that includes the leaders not teaching right. One thing about it, if I was not married to my husband, the word of God that he teaches comes straight from the Holy Bible. It don't come from his thoughts. That lets you know. Somebody preaching the word of God. Until next time, you be blessed. And another release from W.I. Sanders. Be blessed.